Major portions of America's populace believe that as a nation, we're on the wrong course. We are in serious need of major American renewal. We need today what Lincoln spoke of in his Gettysburg Address, a new birth of freedom as one nation under God. Reverend Paul Blair is a Baptist minister from Oklahoma who's involved in the organization Reclaiming America for Christ. One of his commitments is to engage pastors in participating in American renewal. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Paul Blair joins us again on this program. Paul, great to talk with you again.
Jerry, it's great to hear your voice. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Sure. Okay, so do you think that pastors could play a greater role in America and that would make a difference? And if you wanted to, you could even talk about, you know, what things were like at the American founding.
Well, Jerry, pastors absolutely have to play a part if we are going to recover from where we are now. And America most certainly is staggered. And, you know, think about it. You know, the second president of the United States, John Adams, made the statement that our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to govern a people that aren't moral and religious. Now take a look at us. As we have abandoned faith in the realm that we call civil governance, and as we have, I was about to say crept, but actually as we've raced towards socialism, we find that the Constitution with the population we have right now is untenable. So either they're going to eliminate the Constitution and then we will no longer be exceptional. We'll just be a populace that's ruled by our Lord, or we better have an awakening and get back to the principles upon which this great republic was founded.
What do you mean by what do you mean by ruled by our Lord? You mean, in other words, ruled by our overlords or something? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yes, I did not mean capital L Lord or capital all caps Lord. I meant small L Lord. Yeah, we will be subjected to totalitarian authoritarianism, which is the predominant rule of human history. You know, going all the way back to Nimrod and Babel, you've had the strongest or smartest or richest guy that lords over an area of subjects, people that are his subjects. Well, in America, we aren't subjects. We actually are citizens, and we are co-equal in this constitutional republic, and we're supposed to have duly elected public servants. So just the use of terminology, you can see clearly the contrast between what the norm has been throughout 6,000 years of human history and what we have enjoyed for these last 250 years in these United States of America. And as you know, biblical worldview permeated the original settlers in North America, whether it was the Pilgrim and Puritan Great Migration that's formed what we now have as Massachusetts, or whether it be Roger Williams that peeled off and went down and started the state of Rhode Island, or whether it be Thomas Hooker, another example of a guy that peeled off, went down to Hartford and started the state of Connecticut. These are all pastors, and they came at it from a comprehensive biblical worldview. In fact, in the Declaration of Independence, our very birth certificate and statement of faith, you know, it establishes that natural law is the standard, is the foundation upon which our republic would stand. Of course, natural law, we know by John Locke and by Blackstone, their definitions, natural law meant the law of nature, and nature's God, God's law, either written down or that we can see observed through science. And now we've defied both. Think of how insane that is. Not only does man in America reject the biblical authority, but now we're even rejecting obvious proven science, like in all this LGBT, transgender, gender fluid nonsense that's out there. I mean, we have absolutely gone off the rails, and it's because the pulpit no longer plays any part in the United States of America.
Do you think some of that's because maybe they just don't think, pastors don't think that it's appropriate? I mean, in fact, I talked to one godly man, I really appreciate him a lot, And he made the observation, you know, well, we need to avoid, in modern America, Christian nationalism. And I thought, wait a minute. It's one thing to talk about, you know, biblical principles that apply to all of life, including government. But when you start talking about quote unquote Christian nationalism, all of a sudden it sounds like, you know, the KKK or something like that. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? And by the way, I have to thank you, Paul Blair. You generously gave me an obscure book that's out of print by Alice Baldwin. She was a Duke professor or something, but it was all about how these American pastors, especially from New England, before even the Stamp Act existed, long before American independence, they were preaching all the key tenets that culminated in our American independence.
Well, you are welcome. That is a great book on the New England clergy and the American War for Independence. That is a great reference material. But, you know, the modern American pastor, Jerry, has been able to, the American pastor has been able to ignore the realm of civil government for the last 100 years because we were just grandfathered in. We inherited freedom, so we didn't have any value to it, didn't think we had to fight to defend it. Well, now we see that we are about to. Now, look at all the great movements of God. What it took, Martin Luther had to take a stand. He was convicted by his conscience. He couldn't just stand by and see what was going on go on. And we saw the great work of the Reformation and how it changed the direction of Western civilization. And quite frankly, we are products of that. So you have the Reformation era, and it was then the following generation searching for religious liberty that wound up leading the Pilgrims to New England, and then the rest is history. And we have just inherited all that and assumed that it's always been that way. But the reality is, in 2,000 years of Christian history, quite frankly, in 6,000 years of biblical history, the godly have always been hated by the godless. All the way back to Cain and Abel, we see the very first martyrdom. But throughout Christian history, we are the only Christians in 2,000 years to be able to enjoy both civil and religious liberty and not face persecution and martyrdom. We are the exception to the rule. We aren't the rule. So it's important that we recognize that and understand why it has been that way. And it goes back to the things that we've already talked about. The fact that America was founded by the ground up, we the people decided to constitute a limited general government and delegated few and defined powers to it, all governed by the absolute truth that God is and God is over all and is Lord of all. And for these pastors that don't talk about civil government, I would ask them, well, tell me, give me a list of all the things in your life that Jesus is not the Lord over. In my life, as I understand it, as a follower of Christ, Jesus is supposed to be Lord over all of my life, not just over my Sunday mornings. So we've got to recognize that we have been lied to in our seminaries. We have quite frankly gone down a path of Greek Gnosticism in the American church, where we have our two compartments for life. We have our material world, which is over in this one big compartment, and then we have our spiritual life, which is over in this small compartment. And that one keeps getting smaller and smaller as more and more things are taken out and put into the so-called secular life. And then we wind up not discipling our people in really probably 75% of their actual day-to-day lives now. And that is not biblical. That, again, that's the Greek Gnostic thought. The Hebraic worldview was, as the Apostle Paul espoused, whatever you do, you're to do to the glory of God. So we've got, and that's one of the things we do in our Liberty Pastors training camps, Jerry. We ask that question on the first night, what part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? We'll make a list, and it's only those subjects that you aren't supposed to talk about in church. But if you're a 24/7 Christian, then Jesus is supposed to be the Lord over all of our lives. And as you well know, because I've gained so much from reading your work through the years, the Bible speaks so much on economics, business ethics, justice, not social justice, but justice. And it speaks a lot about the realm of civil government. And, you know, the other side, they can't win in the area of fact and dialogue and debate. They have to isolate and freeze you and make you toxic. So that's why they are gifted at this name calling. you know, Christian nationalist. Well, let me tell you, I am a Christian. I happen to be a white. I happen to be a male. I had no control over being white, male, or American. I had no control over when I was born or where I was born or what gender I was. That was all up to God. Now, I made a decision to be a follower of Christ, so I had a little bit of input on that. But, you know, call me what I am. I'm a white Christian that loves the Lord and is privileged to live in the greatest country that's ever been on planet Earth, these United States of America. And I am not going to apologize for any of that.
You know, this radio station is housed in South Florida, and we have, you know, a lot of, you know, influence from Cubans. I mean, we see Cubans, we know Cubans. There's some prominent Cubans in our church, and it's just wonderful to see that. And I was thinking about something the other day. I was thinking, what a difference, and this is related to politics and Christianity, what a difference it would have made to the Cubans if 60, 70 years ago, they did not go down the path of godless, atheistic communism, but instead trudged along, you know, in a, with free enterprise as much as possible and so forth. Think of all the millions of people who'd be so much better off, you know, of those people. I mean, some of these people, you know, risk their lives to kind of come here through shark infested waters so they could possibly make a new life in America.
Exactly. When you look at our southern border, and when you look at those Cubans that would get on makeshift rafts and try to float those, what, 90 miles from Cuba to Florida.
And that's only, you know, by the way, that 90 miles figure is only in reference to a certain point in Key West. And, you know, here I am maybe 200 or whatever miles north of Key West. And that, you know, Miami is several miles away from Key West. So it's far.
Have you noticed you don't have a lot of people migrating from South Florida to Cuba? It's only a one-way street. And that's because everybody recognizes that America is the best game in town. We've got it wrong in a lot of ways, but we've got it. Usually we're, have been moral enough to correct ourselves when we've gone down the wrong path. And we've certainly gotten it more right than wrong than any other country in history. And what you just stated is great evidence that's irrefutable. You know, I've been amazed. The Latino community, they are strong, conservative, God-fearing people, and they hate socialism. I mean, most of them that are now here in the United States have families that are either still in it to some degree, whether it be Cuba, Nicaragua, or Venezuela, or wherever, or they were direct refugees from that tyranny, and they understand the danger that comes along with it.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. What would you like to see happen with American pastors to work for American Renewal?
Well, I would encourage the pastors to follow up on our web. One, listen to you. You are a great Bible teacher that puts it into practice in every area of life. But number two, go to our website, libertypastors.com, and go under our training materials. We've got some of our basic training that's designed for small group training or for pastors. And it's the things that you've seen at some of our camps that you've come to, Jerry, but it's there. It's available to educate these guys for free. But we've got to recognize that we're the only Christians in 2,000 years that haven't been persecuted for our faith. I want to keep it that way. I want to keep America free for children and grandchildren. Whenever the Lord comes, his timing is up to him. But it's up to us whether we stand for and retain liberty in these United States or whether we just give up. But the pastors are why we are different, and it's going to be the pastors that lead another great awakening if we are to continue to retain our freedoms.
And we could add that, you know, America exports the gospel to a lot of places as well. Well, we're basically out of time. LibertyPastors.com for more information. Paul Blair, thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Jerry, my pleasure. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.